Christ is risen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. You go and get it.
The first reading is from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and when it was distributed to each as they had need. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 133 responsibly. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred spirit live together in unity. Like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us all from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. By God's grace, may the words of my mouth be the words God wants your hearts to hear. You may be seated. Okay, how do we say Jesus in sign language? Very good. Isn't that interesting? And how appropriate it is. There's not another man in all of human history that we can say that about. Isn't that interesting? And in one small gesture, we have the whole story of Jesus. Isn't that amazing that someone came up with that? It just kind of blows me away. Really does. Did he get the wrong page? Folded it twice. Try it again. And how many different ways to see? With our eyes, with our ears, with our brain, and more importantly, with our heart. And that is called faith. So this morning we're going to have a conversation about faith. You know about faith, right? And it was kind of interesting, on a theological basis, we often talk about faith doesn't really have a size. It doesn't have a quantity. And yet five times in the book of Matthew, Jesus made the phrase, ye of little faith. Well, that would sort of implicate a size, wouldn't it? And he also said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, how many people have ever had a mustard seed in their hand? Pretty small, isn't it? It's pretty small. So a little faith seems to go a long way. Sort of like an oil leak, right, guys? Get an oil leak with your car, it goes a long way. Exactly. Faith does have a size, but it is not dependent upon how much faith you have, because Jesus gave faith with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive faith through the gift of baptism, right? So we have faith. Now, do we want to think of in having faith in terms of you have so much faith and you have so much more and you have so much less? Is that right? No, it's not. You know how much faith we each have? As much as we're willing to. Think about that. As much as we are willing to believe. Thomas ran around with Jesus for 3 years. Should he have doubted? I don't think so. The other 11 disciples didn't doubt. Wait, at that point there were 10. But Thomas doubted. And I think the reason that Thomas doubted is so that we would come to know that we can believe and still have doubts. We wouldn't be human otherwise, right? Because we do have doubts from time to time. Do we ever have a day where we don't have any doubts? I'm looking for somebody. Nobody's ever had that kind of day, right? Certainly not me. Because we do have doubts. And some days, it seems like we have more doubts than on other days. Probably days that aren't going as well as we'd like for them to have. But the message is that we do have faith. And we have all the faith we need, but maybe what we need to do is use it more. Let's review some of the ye of little faiths. In Matthew 6, there was this little sermon that Jesus did about storing up earthly treasures. And earthly treasures would be the ones that could rot, turn moldy, be stolen, and all those things. And the point he wanted to make is don't be wasting your time storing up earthly treasures when you should be storing up heavenly treasures. Don't worry about how you will live, is what Jesus said. And you know what? We spend a lot of time worrying about that. We worry about how the bills are going to get paid. We worry about how we're going to get groceries on the table. We worry about the mortgage. We worry about all kinds of things that have to do with provisioning, with providing. We worry about those things. All of us do. But Jesus said this, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, that would be called our sun out here, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? God will provide. When God called me to go to seminary at the age of 64, I had a lot of doubt, as you can well imagine. And I had a lot of arguments, and I lost them all. But my favorite one is, I don't have the money for this. And God very quietly said to me, do I need to remind you that my checkbook is bigger than yours? No. And I graduated from seminary with no debt. $148,000 later. Not cheap to create one of us. And yet there were a lot of people out there who had faith that it was God who had called me, and they were willing to back that with their checkbooks. Because that's really God's checkbook, right? It's all of our checkbooks. So don't worry about how you're going to live. God will provide. That doesn't mean to be foolish. It means to be responsible. But it also means to not worry. And that part is really hard. And then you might remember the story when Jesus' disciples went out on the boat and a big windstorm came up. And what was Jesus doing? Napping. And the wind is roaring and the waves are high and the boat is bouncing all over the place and the disciples are hitting the panic button. And they wake him up and he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. Again, here we have protection. Are we sometimes worried about feeling safe? I think we'd be foolish if we didn't sometimes worry about feeling safe, because we live in a very unsafe world, even right here in San Diego, California. Anybody disagree with that? I was sitting with my friend Phil one evening in a shopping center on the south end of Escondido, and we were having a yogurt, frozen yogurt, together and sitting outside at one of the nice little tables and having a good conversation. We heard three pop, pop, pop. And it was a shooting in the parking lot where we were sitting. It was over just that quick. Long story short, they caught the three guys who did the shooting, and the one who got shot wasn't hurt all that bad. But it makes you feel unsafe, doesn't it? You're sitting there doing something as innocent as having a frozen yogurt, and there are shots fired at people in your immediate vicinity. It's hard not to worry about being safe. Oh, and then there's another water story. Wild winds and waves, and the disciples were out in the boat fishing, and the storm came up, and it was blowing water and blowing wind and everything, and they look out, and what do they see? Jesus walking on the water to them. Like a little stroll in the park. Okay, it's a little windy, no big thing. Now, Peter's so blown away with this, he goes, I want to do this, let me do this, command me to walk out on the water to you. Jesus, okay, come ahead. And so Peter got out of the boat,
And he started walking to Jesus, Butch, and the waves were rough. And he began to worry that maybe this wasn't the greatest idea he ever had. And he started to sink. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And we do, don't we? We go from worry to panic. We go from doubt to worry to panic. Situation's getting worse, isn't it? Exactly. And then you remember all the times the Pharisees and the Sadducees tested Jesus. I always thought that was fun. I mean, talk about getting the last word. Jesus always had one ready for them. And so this time they were testing him about asking for a sign from heaven so that things would be believable to them. Kind of like Thomas this morning, right? I want a sign. I want to be able to see something concrete, to see something absolute. Okay? And Jesus said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. An evil and adulterous nation asks for a sign." I don't think we would describe Thomas that way. And I'm sure we wouldn't describe ourselves that way. But sometimes it'd be really good to have a sign. Right? I mean, let's be honest. It would really be good to have a sign. And so the disciples were worried about physical hunger because they went away from this. They went to the other side of the lake and they didn't bring their lunchbox. They had no bread. And here they had just had a lesson about being prepared for the spiritual things in life, to not allow the influence of the those people who are not believers to have rule in their life. That was the important thing. It's important for us as well. They were important about the immediate. Tummy. Right? Feed me, I'm fine. No food, I'm worried. So Jesus became aware of where their concerns were, completely having forgotten the lesson with the Pharisees and the Sadducees about spiritual health. They were worried about their physical health. And he said this, "You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread?" Meaning there were much more important things at hand. And then the last one. Jesus, James, and John, right? James and John, Peter, James, and John, went up to the mountain where Jesus was transfigured, leaving the disciples behind, taking care of the people, talking to the people, sharing with the people, healing people, doing, praying for the people, doing all the things that the disciples should be doing. So the guys come down from the mountain, and this man comes up to Jesus and he said, "My son is an epileptic, and your disciples couldn't heal him. Can you heal him?" Do that. Heal him. He goes into seizures. He rolls into the fire. He rolls into the water. The evil one wants to kill him. "Can you save my son?" And Jesus said to him, "If I am able, all things can be done for the one who believes." All things can be done for the one who believes. And immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Or as another translation puts it, "I want to believe more." Back to quantity, aren't we? I want, how many people here would like to believe more? Yeah, me too. I'd like to believe more. I'd like to never have a doubt. I'd like to never have to worry. And I certainly would never want to have ever panic again. I want to believe more, too. And then those last words of Jesus, because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We condense that whole thing down into the Reader's Digest version, which is, with God, all things are possible. Right? Faith. Paul wrote in his letter to the Hebrews that faith, in the biblical version. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, a little more updated in the English language. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even when we do not see it. See it here. Where must we see it? In the heart. That's where faith is, in the heart. And Thomas answered him, my God and my Lord. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? And here we are, folks. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. That would be us. For we cannot see the wounds in Jesus' hand. He has ascended to the Father. We cannot see where the spear poked him in the side and put our hand there as did Thomas. For Jesus is in heaven waiting for us. We are the ones who are blessed because we cannot see and yet we also believe. Isn't it nice to know we're blessed? Isn't it nice to know that God is the one who said, you are blessed? Wow. Have other people given you a blessing, another person? Feels good, doesn't it? We offer you a blessing every Sunday morning. We offer you a blessing at the end of the service, right? May the Father bless you and keep you. You hear that? Do you ever do that for someone else? Oh, you'll really make their day. In fact, I have a challenge for you. When you get out of bed in the morning, well, maybe even before you get out of bed in the morning. You know that moment there after you woke up and you're reluctant to stick your feet out into the cold of the day? You know what I'm talking about, that little moment in the morning, right? And maybe you're starting to think a little bit about what the day is going to bring you before, like me, you have to rush out of bed and get to the bathroom. There's this little moment of time. I want you to take that moment of time and dedicate your day to God in this fashion and say these words out loud. God, today, let me be a blessing to somebody. Now I got to warn you, buckle your seatbelt because God is going to honor that prayer. And sometimes you will know it. Sometimes you'll find out later. And sometimes you will never know. But I can guarantee you this, that God will honor that prayer. And somebody in your day that day will be blessed because you were a part of their day. Tell me if you can find a better day than that. Because I sure can't. I had a friend who heard that message, which I delivered at House of Prayer in Escondido last May. And he said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so he did. He and his wife belong to Weight Watchers. And if any of those of you who have done the Weight Watcher thing, that you know that when you go to a meeting, somebody offers an attribution. Somebody offers an affirmation. Gives a little inspiring, uplifting talk, right? And so my friend shared that with that group of people, and that how good it made him feel to be able to say that he dedicated his day, that one part of his day would be a blessing to somebody else because he was part of their day. Later that day, he got an email from a lady that was in the group that morning, and she said, "I cannot thank you enough for what you shared this morning, for what you didn't know. Was I thought this would be my last Weight Watchers meeting and my last any meeting I was planning to take my life." I got an email from him who said, "You won't believe how this stuff works." Because it does. He had a very graphic illustration come back to him how important it was to be a blessing in somebody's life. Would you give up a part of your day for that? Would you not? Would you not take the few seconds in the morning before your feet ever hit the floor and say, "God, make me a blessing in somebody's life today," knowing that God's going to do it, knowing that you may never find out, but knowing that you might? Wow. Plan to have your socks blown off, because that's what's going to happen. Faith. Now, those are the signs that God gives us in the things that we do for others, in offering a blessing, in offering to be a blessing, in using those uplifting words to affirm one another that God loves us. We are God's blessed creatures. God says, "You are my beloved." Wow. We are the beloved of God. Can we be any better loved than that? Of course not. So we might talk about faith as having quantity, but perhaps that's not nearly so true as faith that is punctuated by doubt. But that is a faith of quality. For we don't treasure something nearly as much as when we have nearly lost it, or when we've lost it and then have regained it. Is that not true? Sometimes we can't see with our eyes. Sometimes we don't hear the message. Sometimes the brain just can't put it together. But there's still the heart. And the heart belongs to God. For we claim, we believe. Therefore, the heart belongs to God. So even if all of that gets in the way, trust your heart. For God trusts that you will trust your heart that has been given to him. So I'll leave you with a prayer. Ready? Repeat after me. Dear God, help me to believe more. Amen.